Hello, and thank you for joining us for the Lifecast. This recording of the Lifecast was taken from Memorial Day 2008. It features Senior Pastor Randy Williamson sharing a message about military power. We trust that you will enjoy the podcast.
I want to share with you a letter that was written by an individual who was serving in the military. And this is the letter that they wrote home. Dear Ma and Pa, I'm well. Hope you are. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer the Army beats working for old man Minch by a mile. Tell him to join up quick before all of the places are filled. I was restless at first because you got to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m. But I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell Walt and Elmer all you do before breakfast is smooth your cot, shine some things. No hogs to slop, feed to pitch, mash to mix, wood to split, fire to lay. Practically nothing. Men got to shave, but it's not so bad. There's warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit juice, cereal, eggs, bacon, etc. But kind of weak on chops, potatoes, ham, steak, fried eggplant, pie, and other regular food. But tell Walt and Elmer, you can always sit by the two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you until about noon when you get to feed again. It's no wonder these city boys can't walk much. We go on route marches, which the platoon sergeant says are long walks to harden us. If he thinks so, it's not my place to tell him different. A route march is about as far as to our mailbox at home. Then the city guys get sore feet and we all ride back in trucks. The sergeant is like a school teacher. He nags a lot. The captain's like the school board. Majors and colonels just ride around and frown. They don't bother you none. This next will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye is near as big as a chipmunk head and don't move. And it ain't shooting. And it ain't shooting back like the Higgett boys back home. All you got to do is lie there all comfortable and hit it. You don't even load your own cartridges. They come in boxes. Then we have what they call hand-to-hand combat training. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I have to be real careful, though. They break real easy. It ain't like fighting with the old bull at home. I'm about the best they got in this, except for that Tug Jordan from over in Silver Lake. I only beat him once. He joined up the same time as me, but I'm only 5'6 and 130 pounds, and he's 6'8 and nearly 300 pounds dry. Be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry and join before other fellers get onto this setup and come stampeding in. Your loving daughter, Alice. I'm sorry, I love that letter. I came across that letter several years ago, and I still get a charge out of it. Oh, I want to share with you this morning about a power that has an equivalency to a military. Actually, it supersedes that, but on a human parallel, we begin to understand it. And I'm going to give you an example from the Old Testament, one that many of you would be familiar with. And then we're going to look how that foreshadows, it begins to tell about how God's Spirit was going to come and how it was going to be, how His Spirit is poured out and how it can impact our lives right where we live. If you will recall, in 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elijah is the prophet of God, and Elisha is his attendant, his personal attendant or servant, and Elijah is about to be taken, all right? He's about to be taken up in what we know as a whirlwind. He's gonna take off. And Elisha will not stay behind. He continues to follow Elijah from place to place, location to location, because Elisha is after something. And we discover that he is after this double portion of God's Spirit that Elijah has upon his life. I want to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 11. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah when he was taken up in the whirlwind and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And the company of prophets saw this, and they saw that the Spirit that was upon Elijah now rested upon Elisha. We can stop there. This phrase, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, that term was given to Elijah on a few different occasions. And that phrase, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, was a phrase that was used to describe Elijah, and now we will find out also Elisha. And the reason they were given this phrase is a military phrase. The chariots and horsemen of Israel, in other words, this person has the power like a military. If you look back in the history of Elijah and Elisha, they were very involved in prophesying, in praying, in communicating with the king about how they would do in battle and how they would do in war and how they were used in war. That they had such might and power that they were like the military. So they called Elijah. They said, this is the man who is like chariots and the horsemen of our country, of our people. And so that was a military phrase. And so when Elijah was taken up, Elisha cried out, my father, kind of like, oh no, there goes the military strength of our country. I'm not going to go through references, but he was called that on other occasions. Well, Elisha picks up this cloak, this anointing, this empowerment, and he strikes the water, and you have to read a little earlier in the story. That's how they crossed the first time. Elijah took off his cloak, struck the water, it parted, they walked across on dry ground. Now Elijah's gone, the military strength of their people, and Elisha picks up this cloak, strikes the water and walks back, and that's where the company of prophets recognize he is now walking in the power of God's Spirit like Elijah was. I want you to look at, well, we'll go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, you're probably familiar with this passage. We'll start with verse 1. It says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. What's the next word? Suddenly. remember that word in the story we just read, the account of Elijah being taken? Suddenly, there's many parallels here. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Sounds similar to a whirlwind to me. Just like in Elijah and Elisha's experience. They saw that what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and as they were filled, they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. I'm going to pause here for a second. Because Elisha, when he picked up the cloak, he came back to the water. He was going back the way he came, and he struck the water, and it divided, and he walked in this empowerment of God's Spirit. But after he goes back, and that was a miracle, but after he goes back, the first ministry act that's recorded of Elisha is this. He goes back, and Jericho has bad water. They can't use it. They can't drink it. And what if you look back into the history, it's because God's people in Jericho were walking under the curse of disobedience. You can find this in different places in Deuteronomy. You will find where God lists, if you obey, these will be the blessings. This is what will happen. If you disobey, then these are the things that will transpire in your life. The guard and the protection is down, and the curse of sin will go ahead and begin to invade your life. And so Jericho, at this time, had bad water because God's people were disobedient to him. And so they called Elisha and said, "We have got bad water." And he says, "Bring me a new bowl." New bowl, because a new bowl couldn't be used for common use if it was going to be used for a sacred purpose. And so he gets a new bowl and he puts salt in it. And of course, he dumps it into the water. And the water in Jericho is now been transformed by God's power, by his Spirit. And the water's made good. Understand that the power of God's Spirit and God's motivation is always, always for people and to lift the curse of sin off of us. That was the message in the Old Testament. That is the message in the New Testament. You look at when the Spirit was outpoured here in Acts chapter 2, and we just read a little bit of it. And there were people who were visiting there. Some accused these who were speaking in tongues as if they were drunk, as if they were staggering and mumbling and it didn't make sense. But there were visitors from outside the area who heard this and they said, "How is it that these people are speaking in my native language and declaring the marvelous works of God? What is this all about?" So there's this commotion. And Peter, who is now baptized in the Holy Spirit and empowered by God's Spirit, stands up and begins to proclaim the gospel, historical facts leading up to what Jesus did and who he is. And the people begin to say, "What are we supposed to do?" And Peter, by the power of the Spirit, says, "Repent and be baptized." The first act, just like Elisha's, the first act of a Spirit-empowered person was used to bring forth the freedom from the curse. We were born into sin. Jesus came and died, and his blood alone is payment. And it is by God's grace that he sent him, and it is by faith in us in Jesus Christ that unwraps the gift, that we apply that gift of salvation to our life. And the Holy Spirit is involved and at work. But here in Acts, it's about the Holy Spirit empowering a person to do works of ministry and do things beyond their natural resource. If you look into the Old Testament, in Elijah and Elisha, it was about God's Spirit coming upon a person to empower them to do works of ministry. And the works of ministry were to crush the curse and to bring freedom and salvation and liberation to people. That's what it's about. There's much discussion about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because as you look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, tongues was the sign that a person was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yet we know through Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the one who begins to draw us and work in us before we ever express faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit is sent to work in us and draw us and reveal the truth of Jesus to us. So understand, the Holy Spirit is involved in our life. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to have that kind of power, there has to be that immersion, that Holy Spirit coming upon a person. If you look in Acts chapter 19, you will find that the Apostle Paul is there, and he's traveling. And he comes across some men, and he begins to talk to them about Jesus. And they say, yes, we know the message of Jesus. And he says, Paul says to them, do you know about the Holy Spirit? And their response was, no, our baptism is the baptism of John, which is a baptism of repentance. I believe in Christ. Jesus was baptized. It's the outward expression of an internal decision of faith that says, I want the old man to die, and I want to be raised up new in this faith. It's like being born again, brand new start. They said, we only know John's baptism. They're the ones that brought up baptism. And Paul responds and says, the Holy Spirit, and he begins to tell them about it and how they can receive this baptism. And so what he does is he goes along and he begins to pray for each of them, lays a hand upon them, and as he lays his hand upon them and prays for them, there's about 12 men in all, they all began to speak in tongues and prophesy. This Spirit of God that wants to baptize us in a power to break the curse of sin, to do the exploits of God's ministry and his kingdom purpose on behalf of people and restoring them to understanding and to a revelation of Jesus Christ, what he has for them. That kind of power supersedes a power of even a military. Where now is the chariots and the horsemen of the United States? We have those who give their life and stand on guard in branches of the military beyond just the flags that are here. But what about the freedom of individuals from the curse of sin, which we were born into? Where is the chariots and the horsemen? Those who have the strength of God's Spirit, like Elijah and Elisha. Those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by God's Spirit. Not just the working of the Spirit to transform us in character and help sanctify us and work things out of our life and work God's virtue into our life, but also the Spirit of power. You and I can argue about it because, and there are those discussions that go on because people get very offended who say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, is involved in my life, but they are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they dispute it, and they argue it, and they fight it, because if they admit that they are not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, then they have this admission that I'm not baptized. Well, you think you're better than me, and we get, and all of a sudden it becomes this personal argument. That is not what it's about at all. It's not about to stir up argument and dissension. It's simply what God's word has spoken, recorded, and been written to us. This is not about my opinion or your opinion. This is about the declaration of God's word. And God's word is what is supposed to change us. We are not supposed to think we have it all right and declare the parts of God's word and interpret it through my opinion or experience only and make it fit the way I am. That's not God's word. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues or not, that is not about salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, the shedding of his blood. By God's grace, we are saved through faith in him alone. Not of our own works, the great exploits of Elijah or Elisha or Peter, whoever was empowered by the Spirit of God. Empowered, anointed, that empowerment to do something beyond their own ability. Listen, I could stand at the La Crosse River, Jim. I could stand there all day and beat that river with a coat. And if you were with me, you would get tired after a short time and say, you know, you go ahead and work this out with God, but I'm going to go and get a ride across the bridge because this doesn't seem to be working. We're not getting across on dry ground. An empowerment of spirit that goes beyond our natural talents, God-given talents, our own natural giftedness and ingenuity that God blesses us with, it supersedes all of these things. We can still do works of ministry. We can still serve. We can still battle. We can still press on in ministry and do things. But when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, there are supposed to be signs and wonders that follow beyond their human explanation. Now, the counterpart is, we all in this room probably know somebody who is baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. But the power is not in operation. And sometimes that fits our argument real nice. What do I need to speak in tongues for? That sounds weird and funny to me. Why do I have to do that when I'm doing more in the kingdom than the person over here who's babbling in tongues? Why in the world do I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues like that person, when I see more love in people who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit than the one who's babbling over here in tongues, and they don't have love? They're just a clanging cymbal. Paul wrote about it. He understood the arguments. He understood the disputes. But it wasn't about Paul's opinion. It wasn't about Peter's opinion. Not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. I am simply standing before you this morning and telling you and declaring you what the Scripture says. Proclaim it. You've got a problem with this and the way that it is, you know what? Then take it up with the author. Don't kill the messenger. What it says. We can argue around it all day long. But here's the bigger question. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about tongues. It's an evidence that the baptism took place. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about power. About the kind of power that equivalents, is that a word? It is in the Broberg Dictionary. Is he in here? He knows about these words. Let me quote Pastor Aaron. The Holy Spirit's power equivalents. It's an equivalent to the power that we would see in a military that moves in and breaks the power of an oppressor to liberate, to bring freedom. That kind of power. There are people who, they don't put it in these words, but they walk the streets and drive the cars in the marketplace, their neighbors, all these places, who are really walking around with this question, though they haven't put it in these words. Where is the chariots and the horsemen of God's kingdom? Where's the power? Where's the freedom? What will deliver me? What will heal my heart? What will restore my life? What will mend my broken body? And those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we pray in tongues. We're a clanging cymbal. That though we're baptized, we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and display the kind of love and grace and kindness and wisdom. We just think as we speak in tongues, we're in. There are those who argue against the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of tongues because they don't speak in tongues and yet they're involved in ministry, and all of a sudden they feel like they're being made a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. That is not it at all. Because the same people who don't speak in tongues and baptize by the Holy Spirit, they have a hunger and a thirst, and they tell other people, get all you can from God. And yet, all the baptism things, I don't know. How can we do this? How can we compromise on both sides, whether we're baptized with the evidence of tongues or we're not baptized? How can we both compromise on these issues? Compromise on the issue of power and compromise and contradict ourselves and saying, get all you can from God, and yet, I don't know about the whole tongues thing. Jesus himself talked about it. Signs and wonder will follow and things will go on and they shall speak in new tongues. Listen, this is what his word says. You and I can go to the theologians for help. We need it. We can go to the concordances for help. And they can be good, but understand that there's enough opinions out there to mess you and I up even more than we are. So this morning, this is simply a declaration about his word and a call to you and I, that you and I must be empowered by God's Spirit, that we could become the chariots and the horsemen of God's kingdom here on this earth. And to continue to press forward in it and to discover it and let it build and increase in our lives. That when we would pray for someone who is sick, that sickness would appear like a curse because of the result of sin all the way back from the garden, right? When sickness entered the world, it's through sin. And that the power of God's Spirit would come like an army against that sickness and drive it out, the curse of sin, and free the person, that they would know what it is to have a Sabbath rest. That when we share the gospel, that there would be such an anointing power. Though our words haven't changed, we're still declaring the truth. But it's like this impact of God's Spirit, like a militant Spirit of God coming and penetrating through the curse of sin and human wisdom and ingenuity to soften and give a heart of flesh to a person that they would begin to receive. That kind of power. That kind of baptism, a baptism of power. Don't get hung up on tongues. If you are, you're missing the point. Yeah, it's an evidence and a sign that shows up anytime anybody was baptized in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit came upon them in power and endowing them with a power or a new baptism. It was there. Don't get lost. Don't get lost and trip up over the cornerstone. Don't trip over the capstone. You and I need a power that transcends the battle inside us, and we need a power that will transcend and supersede and penetrate the curse of sin into people around us. Because you and I are called to the equivalent and beyond of a military power endowed by God's Spirit. By God's Spirit. I know that you're holy people. I know that you don't watch television or go to movies. But I've watched some old military movies. I know, just pray for me. I've watched, and I remember back in high school, and you would have like American history, and it would show segments of the military, and you would see them marching down the street in droves, all in step, impressively dressed, carrying weapon, and moving. I remember before we moved here to Sparta, where we lived in the country, just outside of town in Hibbing, Minnesota, where we lived, we were on the flight paths for some reason of these two, I don't know airplanes, and you probably do, and you're wondering, oh, was it this kind or that kind, or was it, don't ask me that, I don't know. I'm just telling you, there were two fighter planes, and they would fly low. We could be in our house, or I would walk outside and I'd look up and I would see these things, these two. And the power, the raw power. I mean, some of you know this. The raw power, the sound. You know, normally it's like, oh man, what's with the airplane flying over the house? This was excitement in my house. It was, hey! Hey, they're flying over. I remember times, and I'll just tell you, I remember times being outside and it would happen, and I'd see those two planes and I'd hear the raw power and just, I mean, they are just, they're there and then there. I mean, I remember times even getting a little emotional, teary-eyed over it. Not because of the motor and the power. No, no. Just this. Some of you get like that, but that wasn't it. That was not it for me. And I would say things like, I would talk to myself. I mean, no one was there. It was me. Now, don't be offended by this, by gender, please. This is not the point. I have to put all these disclaimers up because people are so sensitive. This is not a gender thing. I would just say, go get them, boys. It could have been women flying that. It wasn't the point. It wasn't a gender thing. It was, I'd look up, and I'd say, go get them, boys. Go get them. They were empowered to do something. In the same way, I want to be able to say to us, the church, that as we move out from this place of empowerment and this experience with God, that we could look upon our brothers and sisters. We could just say, as they go out back into their life, as they're crossing back over the river by which they came, that they're going back into real life, the places that were familiar, where Elisha was going back to, that we could stand here, we could say to brothers and sisters, say, go get them, boys. Go break the curse of sin. Go break the sickness. Penetrate darkness with the light. We do not wage war as the world wages war. We do not fight and argue like they fight and argue. We conquer hatred and vengeance with the power of God's love. That is what we carry as we walk in military form into this place, and we march around and worship and in study and in prayer. And then we're sent out. This is what I want to tell you this morning when you leave this place. Is go get them, boys. Go free those who need freedom. There are those who are among us and have lost their way and have become captive to sin. It's time for a reconnaissance mission. Is that what it is? Good enough? Just say yes. If you're in here in the military, I'm using the wrong terms, just be gracious unto me. It's time for a reconnaissance mission. It's time for us to go get them, boys. To go and restore them in love and in gentleness. They could be among us again. There are those who are oppressed and they don't know what freedom is. You and I were supposed to go get them, boys. Ladies, women, the church. Remember, it's not a generation or gender thing. It's like me going up to, well, I couldn't do that to you because, I don't know, I just couldn't. It's like me going up to my daughter and saying, come on, man. It's not a gender thing. I couldn't do that to you, Mrs. Juton. I just, I would feel really bad about that. But I could say it to you in a crowd, like, go get them, boys. That's what we're called. But we cannot go out in just our own strength and just our own determination. We must have a baptism of God's Spirit and God's power. So you and I have got to seek it. We got to ask. We got to move forward. The interesting thing was about these baptisms, so to speak, of power, Elisha would not stay back at one of the other locations, even though Elijah said, listen, just stay here. And Elisha said, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. As the Lord God lives, I'm going with you. And you go to another place. And Elijah said, Elisha, just stay. No, as the Lord God lives, I'm going with you. Before Jesus ascended and was taken, kind of like Elijah, before he was taken, he said to them, stay in Jerusalem. And they got together and they just tarried in prayer. Stay there until you are empowered with God's Spirit from on high. There was a discipline, a searching, a hunger, an obedience, a fervor, an uncompromising. And Elisha, and then his disciples, his followers, who stayed. After Jesus ascended, the Spirit just didn't all of a sudden show up at the moment he left. They had to wait and tarry and look and hunger and discipline and pray. And God poured out this gift. This baptism. Elisha had to follow, had to walk, had to stay with him, had to be there, just would not let it go. May you and I hunger and thirst for the baptism of power. And if you've already been baptized with the evidence of tongues, but the power's not released, then you know what? The problem is not God's Spirit. Something's going on. It has been said. It has been said. In fact, I just heard this at a men's retreat, but it was said by Bill Johnson, who's a pastor of a church, and miraculous things, empowering things happen there in their ministry. He said, the things you need from God, God will give you. The things you want, you've got to go after. Hunger, thirst, and pester, and plead, and persistence, and
We need an empowerment that is real, based upon His word, His calling, His appointment. So thirst and hunger for a baptism of power, not to make you great. The motivation is to break the curse that people are living under. That we could bring the good news of Jesus Christ, who He is, and the power of His blood. No curse can stand against it. So where are the chariots and the horsemen of God's kingdom? Let's stand, please, all over this room. Seek Him in your office. Seek Him at your bedside. Seek Him in your vehicle. Seek Him at an altar at the church. Wherever it is, seek Him. Ask Him. Find Him. Get in His presence. When I say get in His presence, I know that He's everywhere. I'm talking about being in His presence and being so mindful of Him that all things are put aside and everything else is gone away. We're there. Take that as an amen. Find that place where you allow the Spirit to empower you, that you would be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with that kind of fire, because Jesus is the baptizer. He's the baptizer. There is more power than what you and I possess in and of ourselves alone. I don't care what your resource is. I don't care what your talent is. You know what? It's not going to cut it without the empowerment, of God's Spirit. You want fruitfulness? Then let the empowerment come of God's Spirit. He will multiply the effect of your effort, your desire, that you are trying to offer up to Him. He's made a way for you to do this. He's made a way for you because He loves you and He wants you to share in it. And He wants the curse of sin broken by His blood, by those who believe and go out with that good news. Why don't you bow your heads all over this room, please? You're in this room and you say, you know, I don't know about this empowerment of God's Spirit, but I'm here this morning and I'm not even in right relationship with Jesus, the one who does the baptizing. I'm not even in right relationship with Him. I have not committed my life to Him. I have not responded. I've not responded to God's grace and mercy towards me by putting my faith in Him, the kind of faith that changes the way I live every day. And I want to surrender my will, my ways. Right now, I want to surrender them, and I want to join in this faith. I want to come into this faith. I want to be born again and come into this faith in Jesus Christ. If you're in this room, and that's you, I want to include you in a closing prayer. I'm going to pray for you, but I want to know who I'm praying for. So all I want is you to slip up your hand right now so I can see it, so I can include you in this prayer. Yes, 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 yes. When you raise your hand, this is saying, I need to confess my sin. I need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me. I ask Him to come into my life and help me live different according to Him and have relationship with Him. This is not the list of five things and I got to be mechanical. This is about a relationship with Him. Anybody else? You slip up your hand real quick. I want to include you in this prayer. Yeah. Yes. Father, forgive us our sins. Forgive us for allowing ourselves to live under this curse when we don't have to. So Jesus, with a raised hand, they want to come under your leadership, your lordship. They want to love you and serve you and know your ways and abandon their own. So forgive us, forgive them of our sin. Let us walk out renewed, refreshed, hearing the call to walk with you in relationship with you. Those who've raised their hands, empower them. Let them know what a baptism of the Holy Spirit is in their life in the days to come. They would walk in a power of your Spirit, administering the power of your blood that breaks the curse of sin and releases freedom in Christ. Do that for these people. Give them the assurance today, Lord, their sins washed away. Washed away. Guilt is gone. Condemnation is gone. The accusation is gone. Your blood alone, Jesus, is enough. So build them in faith in you. Encourage them in your name.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of...
Thank you for listening to The Lifecast. The Lifecast is a podcast of New Life Assembly of God located in Sparta, Wisconsin. You can log on to our website at www.spartanewlife.com. Thank you again for listening, and join us next time on The Lifecast.